Hello and welcome to the Macro Minutes podcast. In this episode, Arup Roy Chowdhury talks to Soumya Kanti Ghosh, the Chief Economic Advisor of State Bank of India. Mr. Ghosh talks about what the budget did right, how the proposed bad bank is different from the previous attempts asset reconstruction companies, and how monetary and fiscal policies need to be in step to sustain the growth momentum in 2021-22.
So, Dr. Ghosh, let's start with the budget. It has only been a week and a half. A lot of the themes have been discussed by experts like yourself. Obviously, everyone has spoken about the fiscal expansion, the push to create jobs through infrastructure, as well as a renewed thrust on privatization. But for you, sir, what are the three key takeaways from the budget, sir?
See, to me, the budget, we actually describe this budget as a CSR budget. CSR is obviously not means corporate social responsibility.
All right.
But it is basically CSR over here means consolidation, S means spend, and R means revive. So actually, these are the three cornerstones of this budget. Why I'm calling it a consolidation budget? Because actually, the best thing the budget has done, it has actually moved from an off-balance sheet financing to a headline-based deficit the prognostication of the economy, and that's why the fiscal deficit is ugly. In fact, the overall fiscal deficit, if you actually purge the off-balance sheet activities, is declines to below 9%. So I think around 8.7%. So that's the first thing. And this, I think, was a long-standing demand for a lot of people for transparency, and the rating agencies and even the investment community and even all the regulators and the policy analysts and everybody should take it very positive. That's the first part. So that the second part is the spending. I think the government has in no uncertain terms that it says that it is going to spend its way out of the economy and it will spend in sectors which has a high multiplier effect, specifically the capital expenditure. For example, a lot of people are saying that the expenditure increase of only around 30,000 crores. But the important point is that if you look into this expenditure increase of 33,000 or some odd crores, the capital expenditure is supposed to increase by around 1.1 lakh crores. So that means the revenue expenditure is going to decline by this equivalent amount. So this means, and this increase in capital expenditure at 1.15 lakh crores, if you just take a historical perspective from 2002 till 2020, for the last almost two decades, the average increase in capital expenditure for the Indian economy for every successive year budget was around 25,000 crore. So this year's expansion is around 4.7 times. And the important point to note over here is that, or which I want to mention, is that the numbers in the budget, I think, are being for the first time looks for the first time has been made in such a manner that this is largely achievable. So, for example, do you know that we are actually, the tax fancy which have been projected in this budget is actually lower than this of this fiscal when the year of pandemic has started. So no sensible person would tend to believe, every sensible person in fact would tend to believe that the tax fancy would be higher at least than the pandemic year. So if I take that as the case, the nominal GDP number of 14.4% could be an underestimate. It could go up. And that, in fact, could actually give more spending power to the economy as you move forward. So this is the second thing of spending. The third thing, of course, is the revival, because the government is going to spend on a lot of areas, the infrastructural sectors. It will also invest in health. It will all in a big way. It has also emphasized that it will also hold on the agriculture. It has also said that another some of the important things it has done, very good tax reforms it has done. For example, it has reduced the assessment period from 6 years to 3 years. So that will put in a lot of tax transparency. And if you look into all the numbers and all the laws, and the most important laws which have come in are in the financial sector, that could actually unleash the power of the financial sector. For example, the ARC AMC structure could be a game changer. The second point is the insurance law, the insurance 14 to 74%, and also the codification of the securities code. I think all in all, it's a good budget. We need to implement the budget now and move forward.
So you also believe, just like the budget makers, that the targets set are quite realistic. In fact, they are bordering on conservative. They're easily achievable conservative targets, is what you believe.
Yes. So at least the numbers which has been shown in terms of the assumption, that at least that shows out that number. Because For example, I mean, the 14.4% nominal GDP means we can have a GDP, I mean, expansion of around 11%, which now seems to be a little bit on the lower side, the way economy has been doing. And my sense is that if there is some upside to it, possibly there will be an upside to it, I think that will be very good for the economy, for the government to spend more. So in my sense, yes, the numbers are on the low, are conservative. Another example which I can tell you is that if you look into the gross tax revenue for the first 9 months, and if you look into the budgeted gross tax revenue for the entire 12 months, you will actually find out a peculiar thing that the next, these 3 months, for example, January, February to March of this fiscal, the gross tax revenue is supposed to decline, which to me looks a little bit odd. So if I just take that as an analogy, even this year's 9-point fiscal deficit number could be undershot, and hopefully we can get a positive news in May when the final numbers are announced.
All right. Sir, since you are the chief economist of India's largest public sector bank, in a way, you are the economics brain trust of State Bank of India. So I have to ask you this. Some of the two biggest financial sector related announcements, one is the setting up of a new bad bank, and second, 20,000 crore additional recapitalization to the banks. How positive are they for the sector? There are a lot of criticism that 20,000 crore is not enough. And the question on the first one is that there have been many asset reconstruction companies. How can this be different?
No, I think this is a structure is a little bit different than what the other ARC structure has turned to do. It will be a combination of an ARC and AMC structure.
All right.
Let me tell you one thing over here is that the problem in the Indian context is that there has been the buy side of this distressed asset market has not developed significantly. Mm-hmm. So we need to develop that buy side of the market. And given the fact that the banks have now almost provided for around 85 to 90% of these legacy assets, that means when you are transferring, you just need to transfer because at the end of the day, you have to transfer the net value of whatever is on your balance sheet. So if you are transferring a net value, you have to provide a very little provisions for that. So my important point is that this structure is very important, because the way the structure has been conceived, I think that will actually take a longest discussion. But my point is that it will be managed professionally.
All right.
And given the fact that the provisioning requirement only will be 10 to 15% of the total value, which is lying on the bank books.
All right.
This means that the upside would be significantly on the higher side in terms of fund recovery and other things. And regarding your second point of the capitalization, I think, yes, capitalization, we can always debate. But here again, my answer is that you can act the Indian banking sector. And this is the most important point which I would like to make over here again, is that Indian banking sector, like most other banking sector this time, was adequately capitalized and adequately provisioned prior to this COVID crisis. So if I take that as the benchmark, I don't see a repeat of the deterioration of the asset quality in 2011-12 after the financial crisis. And that could actually sober the expectations of a large-scale capital infusion in the public sector banks.
All right. Now, sir, last question. Obviously, as you said, but now we will have to see how the budget is implemented. And that is, of course, there. But apart from the budget, what else do you think the government and the Reserve Bank of India need to look out for in the coming months and in the coming financial year to ensure that there is a stable, long-sustaining growth momentum for the economy, even beyond 2021-22? Obviously, the vaccination program is the point, but what other points do you see?
Yeah, if you give me 2 minutes, I will take an example of a familiar economic theory, which you often call the game of chickens. Basically, the fact is that if two drivers are driving on the highway, and if both the drivers are egoistic and decide that no one will swerve to the right and left, so they can actually then have a head-on collision.
Yes.
So in this case, consider two drivers as monetary and fiscal policy. So they need to work in tandem. Okay. Either both of them need to swerve, that means accommodate, or both of or one of them needs to swerve, which in this could be the RBI, which has to accommodate the large fiscal expansion program of the government. Okay. I am sure that both the RBI and the government are cognizant of this. And the fiscal monetary policy coordination, the way it has happened last year, I think the government has borrowed record amount from the market as the lowest rate of interest rate for the 16 years. I think that actually bodes well for an overall recovery. So my sense is that better monetary and fiscal coordination or continued fiscal policy coordination, which has happened over the last year.
All right. So you are so that means in simpler terms, you are expecting rate cuts from the Monetary Policy Committee to accommodate
I'm not expecting growth. I am not expecting any rate cuts. In our sense, there will be no rate cut in next year. But I am expecting that the central bank will keep the liquidity in extended surplus mode throughout the current fiscal and it'll do everything possible so as to keep the cost of borrowing of the government in check. So basically, it is accommodating to the needs of the fiscal policy.
All right. Dr. Ghosh, thank you so much for your time and thank you once again for appearing in Money Control Macro Minutes.
Thank you.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of the Macro Minutes podcast. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.